From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. As I announced yesterday, we're this week looking at one of the great texts of the whole New Testament. In our ongoing series of studies in Colossians 1, we have reached verse 14, where Paul says concerning God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Every word is worth our close consideration, and I trust that as we look at this text this week, and again in the will of the Lord next week, the Lord will teach us much and draw us closer to Himself in true worship and joyful adoration as we think of the glorious salvation we have in Christ. And if it should be that you're not a Christian, that as yet you can't read your title clear to a place in heaven, that God will show you the way of life and draw you into the experience of His redeeming love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be turning to Colossians 1 in just a few minutes, but first, our devotional for today is from Exodus chapter 4 and verse 12. The subject is untied tongues. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Silent Christians. There can be no doubt that the modern church is hindered in its witness by many believers who are just that, silent Christians. It's amazing to consider the great numbers who seem to have an opinion to voice on any subject, except that which really matters, the power of Christ in saving their souls. Peter admonishes us in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. How pertinent is that counsel, and yet how seldom is that exhortation heeded. If we analyze the reasons for this reticence and reluctance, we will find that fear is often the major cause. The believer does not really lack confidence in the power of his message, but he has little or no confidence in his own ability to express that message. Moses expresses what many of us have felt at one time or another. I am not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. One can sense the divine forbearance and, perhaps to use a human word, even the frustration in the reply from heaven. Who hath made man's mouth? Have not I, the Lord? The God who creates the faculty of speech is the God who promises to give utterance in its employment. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. The wonderful thing is that the promise holds good. Knowing this, let us ask the Lord to give us some opportunity to speak for Him today, and let us trust in Him to provide the words and the wisdom. And our thought for the day comes from Richard Baxter. If we did indeed look upon them as within a step of hell, it would effectually untie our tongues.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the prison's floor, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Oh,
In each broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version. By updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon. And if you need to have one, we'd be delighted to send you A New Beginning. Yesterday's broadcast, we started our two-week study of Colossians 1 verse 14. The great theme of this text is the redemption that God's people have in Christ. God's people have redemption and they have remission of sins by the virtue of Christ's person and the merits of Christ's blood. Currently, we're dealing with the essence of redemption. And we do need to have a clear definition of our terms. So today we're going to use the Old Testament's teaching on the subject to see the fullness of what God has done for us in our redemption. When we turn to the Old Testament scriptures, we find that redemption may apply to people, and it also may apply to property. And those two thoughts are carried into the New Testament exposition of redemption. When you turn to the Bible, and it is describing the redemption of people, the idea is always that of a release and a recovery of people out of slavery, captivity, bondage. When we're dealing with the redemption of people, therefore, in Scripture, we are dealing with the release and the recovery of slaves. When we deal with the redemption of property, then it is always the thought of a recovery of a lost or a forfeited inheritance. Now, think of those two aspects of the word redemption.
The classic example of the redemption of people in the Old Testament is, of course, the redemption of Israel out of Egypt. That's so important in the Old Testament that everywhere you turn, the Lord refers to it throughout the remainder of their history. The Lord, through the prophets, always called the Israelites back to that moment when He intervened in Egypt and He delivered them by the blood of the Lamb. He redeemed them as His people. We were reading of it this morning in the prophecy of Isaiah. And this is just one portion. You could turn to one portion after another. And the Lord is saying this is the outstanding example of the redemption of people out of slavery. You remember what He says through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, because the Lord loved you, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that's a clear, classic example of recovering the slaves. When you think of the redemption of property, you could think of Ruth, the book of Ruth, and how Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, redeemed his kinsman's property. And actually, in the providence of God, thereby safeguarded the line of Messiah. It's a very important book, the book of Ruth. If you want to study it carefully and spiritually, you will find that the key to Ruth, the whole book, the key to it, is the theme of redemption, the person, the work, the role, the love, the commitment, the payment, the engagement, the covenant of the kinsman redeemer. This is the book of Ruth. Or, of course, you could take the case of Jeremiah, chapter 32 of his book, where he, as the kinsman redeemer, purchases the property of his kinsman that is forfeited. And, of course, there's tremendous prophetic significance in that action of the prophet. But those are two outstanding examples. But perhaps even towering above those, you have the statements of Leviticus 25 regarding the year of Jubilee. You remember in Israel, there were seven periods of 7 years. And then the 50th year was the year of release, the year of redemption, the year of Jubilee. And in Leviticus 25, verses 24 to 27, we read, in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. Now, I've read those three or four verses and taken the time to do so that you would get the message. There must be, and there was built into the whole legal system of Israel, this provision that land, property, inheritance, for remember, property in Israel outside the walled cities was inherited property. It may be traded, it may be purchased by one and another, but it could not pass out of the inheritance of the tribe or of the family, and in the year of Jubilee, it had to revert to its original owners. Remember that that's the background here. And the Lord is teaching that if through poverty or folly or whatever, a person or a family forfeited their inheritance, yet it had to be capable of redemption, and in the year of the great release, it had to go back without money, without price. It had to revert because there had to be a redemption for the land. Now, why did the Lord so emphasize that? Well, remember what I said. These ideas in the Old Testament are the cargo that the term redemption carries in the New Testament. And they are teaching us that the very essence of redemption, first of all, has to do with us as people, bringing us out of slavery. And then it has to do with us as those who have lost their inheritance. And that inheritance has been recovered, purchased back for us, restored to us by our kinsman Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those are huge terms. If I get into them in any detail, it'll not take a Sunday, but a whole lot longer for us to get into them. You will have heard it said, I'm sure, again and again, and I'm not going to belabor the point this morning, that when you come to the New Testament term for redemption, it is a pictorial term. It paints the picture of us as slaves in a slave market. It paints the picture of Christ the Redeemer entering into the slave market. And that gives you a whole new aspect of the doctrine of the incarnation, where he came and why he came. The third element in the picture is of his paying the price to release the slave. All that is in the word. But what I'm saying to you today is that when you factor in what the Old Testament teaches, it goes even beyond that. Yes, it's true. He has delivered us out of the slavery of our sin. He's brought us out of that. But he has also recovered our lost inheritance. And here you have two texts that I would strongly urge you to consider in detail. One is Colossians 3, verse 10, and the other is Ephesians 4, verse 24. They are, of course, parallel books, and these are parallel texts. Ephesians 4, verse 24 says that the new man after God was created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3, verse 10 says the new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. When you put those two texts and the terms they employ together, you get a picture first of the inheritance we had in Adam, going back before the fall, created, I want you to get these terms, in righteousness, in holiness, and in knowledge. Genesis adds, with dominion over the creatures. And that's where our complete catechism definition comes from. But this is how the Lord created Adam. This is the inheritance that was originally mankind's in Adam, created in righteousness and holiness with knowledge. Now, those are three immense theological terms. They open up vast areas for consideration. Do not confuse righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is always a legal term. It is a term of the acceptance of our character and our person by a righteous God. He created us righteous, that is. And I want you to remember what we learned when we were studying the law and the Ten Commandments. That these were not first given on Mount Sinai, but God revealed His law and wrote it on the heart of Adam at His creation. And when God created Adam, He created him in a state of absolute rightness by the standard of His law. But then holiness is a different term. This speaks, you'll have to take my word for sort of an overarching statement here. This is not a theology lecture. If you want to get into the details, go to Mr. Braham and he'll be glad to take you into his theology class. But holiness deals with the bias of the heart and the will. There is this crazy notion among especially Arminians that when God created man, He created him in a state of equilibrium. Oh, He was perfect, but He was perfectly balanced between good and evil. And He could as easily choose the one as choose the other. And that is just simply not the state of affairs when God created man. God created man holy, that is, with his entire nature positively biased to holiness. Holiness, if I could make this statement, holiness was easy for Adam. It was his nature. Sin was difficult. In order for Adam to sin, it took such a willful decision as wrecked the entire moral bias of his nature. How did God create man? With what an inheritance? In what a state? Righteous. And holy, and with knowledge.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.